Thank you for that special. I would ask tonight that as our brother Jerry stands up here, that you would say another prayer for him, give him strength. Say a prayer for yourself that you can receive the message that the Lord has for you tonight. And I would ask, I remember our brother Alvin Harris asking all the time before he would announce somebody, give him your biggest smile tonight. Brother Jerry.
Thank you, Stephen. I'm pleased to be here tonight. It's good to be in the service of the Lord. I want to start with a short verse, just a single verse, out of Joshua. It's the first chapter, ninth verse. It says, "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." I'm going to go back and read more of this. In studying for the sermon, I had several different scriptures on my heart, and you're probably going to hear most all of that, not all of it, because I really got excited reading the 11th and 12th chapters of 2 Nephi. They're just so full. And yet, probably you're not wanting me to read both chapters to you tonight. They're pretty long. But I'm grateful. yesterday was trying to contemplate these, and somehow I wanted to My mind wasn't wrapping around how to state the topic or how to, you know, bring it all together. And I was sitting on the couch, and Jeremiah came to me and he said, would you go play golf with Jose and I? And I was like, I feel guilty. I feel like I should stay home because I don't feel like my sermon's ready to go yet. And Cindy said, go. He said, maybe something when you're playing golf will bring it together for you. And so we're playing along, and Jose goes, look. And he shows me this golf ball. And it says, Joshua 1:9, and has a brief statement of what's in that verse. And it was, I went afterwards, and I looked up that verse, and not just reading the verse, but if you see the environment that verse was set in and what's going on there, it makes the point perfectly that was on my heart. And I feel like God works in mysterious ways. And I think he wants us to have fellowship too. And somehow he likes to emphasize that too. Joshua, I'm going to start with the first verse. I'm going to read through to 9. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto your fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate there, meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy ways prosperous. For then thou shalt make thy ways prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. And as I read through this and I considered, you know, what was it that Joshua had to be afraid of? Well, I think any man, when he's given a big responsibility, there's a bit of maybe hesitation, wondering if, you know, feeling like maybe I'm not up to it. So maybe that's part of it. But the Lord has made this promise to him that wherever he goes, the Lord will be with him, and that no man can stand against him. If you read on to the end of the chapter, when he talks to the children of Israel there to go on over the Jordan, they said to him, "We will follow you just like we did Moses. And if anybody rebels, we will kill them. We'll take their life." So what is it Joshua has to be afraid of? What does he lack? I think this tells us exactly what Joshua needed to be strong in. It tells us exactly what he needs to be courageous in. Starting with the sixth verse, "Be strong and of good courage unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto your fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou may observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou may prosper whithersoever thou goest." Turn not to the right hand or to the left from doing all the law. And for that reason you will prosper. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy ways prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success." The Lord was telling him, be strong in the law. Observe to do all of it. Meditate on it day and night, so that it would be graven on the fleshy tables of his heart, and he would not depart to the right or to the left. That's what the Lord wanted him to be strong in, and therefore the Lord would not let one foot stand against him. And he would have every reason to be of great courage. And this is not unlike when Moses was called to take the children of Israel and begin to lead them out of Egypt. I'm going back over to Exodus, the third chapter. Here's Moses was out. He was a shepherd. He was out with the flocks. I guess I'll start with the first verse here, this third chapter. "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert, and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked and beheld the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. The Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land unto a good and a large, and unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come up unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, What is his name? Excuse me. What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Think of the importance of what he said his name was here. They knew him as the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And when Moses came to them, thank you, Karen. Can you imagine if somebody came to us, someone you trusted, and said, okay, we are leaving this place. I'm going to lead you out of here. And you're like, I work at Mayo. What about my job? And, you know, they worked for the king. They were slaves. It was the life they had known for generations. This was not something that makes you real comfortable, even when you're a slave, that you're just going to depart. Especially when their taskmasters have been horrible to them. They've suffered a lot. They know them to be cruel. And so they're just going to let them go. We're all going to be safe. I'm not going to go back home to my little house. And, you know, you're talking about a big deal when he was going to go to them and tell them, I'm going to take you out of Egypt. And God told them, I'm not just God of your fathers. I'm not just the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He said, I am. My very identity is that I am. I am your God. This moment, I am your God. And I think of, you know, I look back through my life and all the good times, all the difficult times, the times like this that I just wasn't sure I was up to or wanted to face. And God is in each one of those moments. He is never not there. He is there now, and He is our God. And all the power that He has, all the love that He has, is this moment as you and I stand and sit here. I was, this morning, Stephen opened by talking a little bit about Jehoshaphat. What was the origin of jumping Jehoshaphat? And as he began to read and talk about the things that he began to read and talk about, I have to tell you, I felt like demonstrating jumping Jehoshaphat. I wanted to just jump for joy because I felt like the Lord God, the author of his sermon, was the author of my sermon. They fit together. A lot of the same message. We are, who was Moses here? Who was he that he should go up and talk to the Pharaoh? Who was he? Moses, you're my servant. I'm God. And he said back here in the 7th and the 8th verses, I have heard. God said this, I have heard the voice of my people, and I will take them out of there. It was God who was doing that. But he said, Moses, I want you to go to Pharaoh. But Moses reacted, oh, maybe like I would. Well, who am I to go talk to Pharaoh? And he said, you're my servant. And go tell him that I am. And my very identity is I am. In life, we can go to sleep because of the comforts we have. We can face the same trials, the same arguments, the same discussions over and over and over till we become kind of numb to them. We don't realize how very, very important our service to God is at all times. And I think sometimes it's a little hard to understand what I'm saying because I'm standing up here and you're saying, well, he means, you know, like he's serving God and he's preaching. I'm talking about when I'm working on FMLA paperwork over at the Mayo Clinic. I'm talking about when Mary is at school with her friends there and her teachers, and she's trying to study hard, make a living, trying to learn and create a good situation for a family in the future. I'm talking about when you're out skateboarding in front of the church. It's the way you behave yourself. It's the kind of example you are when you are there. It's how you serve God with every opportunity. And whether your eyes and your heart are open for those opportunities. I'm going to turn over to 2 Nephi. And I was intending to cut this reading down a little, but I'm going to read all of it. And not all of the 11th and 12th chapters. But I'm going to read probably from about the 3rd verse. of this 12th chapter. And I'm going to read through to about through 41. I think as I read, though I'm reading this, this was the dates at the bottom of my page are around maybe 550 before Christ, 550 years before Christ. As I read, I think you'll recognize these things. It will sound like it's talking about our day. And it is talking about our day because it's talking about these words being written in the book. And that by and by, they will talk to us in this day when these things are happening. Verse 3. On my book, it's page 152. For it shall come to pass in that day that the churches which are built up and not unto the Lord, when the one shall say to the other, Behold, I am the Lord's. And the other shall say, I am the Lord's. And thus shall every one say that hath built up churches and not unto the Lord. And they shall contend one with another, and their priests shall contend one with another, and they shall teach with their learnings and deny the Holy Ghost, which giveth utterance. And they deny the power of God, the Holy One of Israel. And they say unto the people, Hearken unto us, and hear ye our precept. For behold, there is no God today, for the Lord and the Redeemer hath done his work, and he hath given his power unto men. Behold, hearken ye unto my precept, for they shall say, There is a miracle wrought by the hand of the Lord. Believe it not. For this day he is not a God of miracles, he hath done his work. Yea, and there shall be many which shall say, Eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow we die, and it shall be well with us. And there shall also be many which shall say, Eat, drink, and be merry. Let's see. Am I reading it again? I am. You needed it emphasized. And there shall be many which shall say, Eat, drink, and be merry. Nevertheless, fear God. He will justify in committing a little sin. Yea, lie a little. Take the advantage of one because of his words. Dig a pit for thy neighbor. There's no harm in this. And do all these things, for tomorrow we die. And if it so be that we are guilty, God will beat us with a few stripes. And at last, we shall be saved in the kingdom of God. Yea, and there shall be many which shall teach after this manner. False and vain and foolish doctrines, and shall be puffed up in their hearts, and shall seek deep to hide their counsels from the Lord, and their works shall be in the darkness, and the blood of the saints shall cry from the ground against them. Yea, they have all gone out of the way, they have become corrupted. Because of pride and because of false teachers and false doctrine, their churches have become corrupted. And their churches are lifted up because of pride, and they are puffed up. They rob the poor because of their fine sanctuaries. They rob the poor because of their fine clothing. And they persecute the meek and the poor in heart because of their pride. They are puffed up. And I think about the curse that is pride? How strong, how incessant pride is. How deceptive it is. There's a verse in the Bible that's not my favorite. It's in the 16th chapter of Proverbs. It's a verse that I know is true, but it's a scary verse. It says, The ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. The ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. And if you put a good dose of pride in there with it, it's just like inescapable. When you're right, when you're enlightened, it is hard to touch your heart. It's hard to recognize the truth if it disagrees with me, the wise one. Well, that's the situation here. That's the people. That's what's going on with the churches. And today there are so many churches. So many. I just read 15. I'll start with 16. And they wear stiff necks and high heads. Yea, and because of pride and wickedness and abominations and whoredoms, they have all gone astray, save it be a few, which are the humble followers of Christ. Just to emphasize, when it was talking about those that are deceived, it was talking about people lifted up in pride. And when it started talking about the followers of Christ, it said, humble. Humble. Nevertheless, they are led, that in many instances they do err, because they are taught by the precepts of men. Oh, the wise and the learned and the rich that are puffed up in the pride of their hearts, and all they that preach false doctrines, and all they that commit whoredoms and pervert the right way of the Lord. Woe, woe, woe be unto them, saith the Lord God Almighty, for they shall be thrust down to hell. Woe unto them that turn aside the just for a thing of naught, and revile against that which is good, and say that it is of no worth. For the day shall come that the Lord God will speedily visit the inhabitants of the earth, and in that day that they are fully ripe in iniquity, they shall perish. But behold, if the inhabitants of the earth shall repent of their wickedness and abominations, they shall not be destroyed, saith the Lord of hosts. When I read these things, you know, it's kind of like, I have this memory of a conversation with my brother, Don McIndoo, where we were talking briefly about Revelations. It was during a time that at Phone Church, we were studying Revelations, a study that only took like 2 years. It's hard to get through that one in a hurry. But one of the things J. Paul said, and it's another thing that's testified of here, that in the end, all these things that happen and that we struggle to interpret, we try to struggle to understand where this might occur in the history of the world. Is it ahead of us? Has it happened already? Is it behind us? Is it happening today? How bad is tribulation? You know, all these questions that go on while you're reading through Revelations. But J. Paul, who was our teacher through that study, he kept saying, if people would get too involved in the conversation, he would sometimes stop us and he'd say, remember, God wins. In the end, God wins. His plan is never fouled. He wins. It will be as he said. And here you find the Lord will come in spite of all these things that are going on. But look at our day. I look at my day growing up. I'm not a kid anymore. I just want to be. But growing up, when I was in high school, most of my best friends were RLDS. It was before the advent of the Community of Christ. It was before the, I'm taking myself way back. It was before all that group of revelations in 1986 when they kind of rededicated, relocated the temple lot and started working on that big spire that's across the street from the temple lot now. But I and my friends at high school, we talked about God. And they talked about many of their experiences. And they had many miraculous experiences. And I believe they're true. I believe they're true. As time has moved on, I worked at what's called the old Independence Sanitarium at the time, and then they renamed it Independence Regional Health Center. But it was a hospital that was basically RLDS owned. So again, I was among all these RLDS, and I worked nights. And people would literally come from other floors because they wanted to talk about stuff. And they were going through a horrible time in their history. A time in their history where their fathers were silenced and thrown out of the church. A time in their history where their husbands were silenced and thrown out of the church. A time where things that people believed for years were being turned upside down, and they were discouraged and upset. Saw a lot of tears. Saw a lot of tears. But again, heard of a lot of miracles because God was continuing to work with them. Talking to my wife as she's grown up, she's seen some pretty neat, she's heard some pretty neat testimonies of things that have happened. And she grew up Catholic. But we have all these churches. And you know there's more today than in the times I'm talking about. What we used to know as the RLDS church is divided, I don't know, I'm guessing, maybe into 100 different factions. All these little restoration branches, and they have little different names, but they're all kind of divided up, and again, many, many churches. And God trying to help. Within the Church of Christ, where did we come from? Many different places. And we bring history with us. And it's hard, like if you're a disgruntled RLDS person, not to always be a disgruntled RLDS person. You bring the teachings of your fathers. And they stick. And we find disagreements like it's talking about here. We disagree with one another. We disagree sometimes when we feel like the Lord has spoken to us. And not everyone feels that way. When Joshua was told to take on the responsibility that had been that position of leadership that Moses was in, he already had seen a lot. He already had a lot of experiences. He had reason that he could fear, that he could not be strong, that he could not be courageous. These things are no excuse. They're just what we have to work with. And who are we to fix it? We're just his servants. And we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Be strong. Be courageous. But be strong and courageous in his word. Meditate on it day and night. As God told Joshua, that he not depart from every part of the law, to the left or to the right. And God is God. God is the one who makes it so we survive. God is the one who still is miraculous. I was going to read out of 2 Peter. Second Peter, chapter 3. A second letter that he's writing here. It says, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us and the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly man. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering toward usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat." Yeah, there are scoffers, those that mock, those that don't understand that God created the heavens and the earth. They don't believe. They don't believe. And I believe, just like we were reading back there in the Book of Mormon, it's not just that they don't believe, they are enlightened. They are smarter than you. They know better. And they're hard to talk to. Talking about being melt with a fervent heat, a heart like that's hard to melt. But I dare say there are those here who have had that heart. And it was melted. Be strong. Be courageous. I'm one, as I travel through life, that I'm constantly surprised by things. I don't feel in my life that I've been one that was like an outstanding example. I went to work at Mayo, and I didn't know anybody there. But I hadn't been there very long till I started, I was talking with the person that was orienting me another nurse. And it came up that I had worked down in Chandler at Intel. She goes, I think I knew somebody. I think I worked with somebody that worked there. And I said, I told her what the name was. And she goes, I know her. A few days later, she came back to me. And she said, I talked to Carol. Where did these things come from? She said, you're quite a Christian. She said, you're a real believer. I don't know why Carol thinks that. But I believe we do not walk through this life without effect. And I'm talking about every one of you. Here, you sit in this chapel and you are refreshed. But you must go out into all your places of business, to your school, drive on the roads. And that's where you must be this person that God sent out into the world to be his servant. That is our field, and it is at all times. What verse was I at? I'm going to turn with 19. I'm going to start reading at 19. Page 154, second book of Nephi, chapter 12, verse 19. Woe unto them that turn aside the just for a thing of naught, and revile against that which is good, and say that it is of no worth. For the day shall come that the Lord God will speedily visit the inhabitants of the earth, and in that day that they are fully ripe in iniquity, they shall perish. Behold, if the inhabitants of the earth shall repent of their wickedness and abominations, they shall not be destroyed, saith the Lord of hosts. But behold, that great and abominable church, the whore of all the earth, must tumble to the earth, and great must be the fall thereof. For the kingdom of the devil must shake, and they which belong to it must need be stirred up unto repentance, or the devil will grasp them with his everlasting chains, and they be stirred up to anger and perish. For behold, at that day shall he rage in the hearts of the children of men, and shall stir them up to anger against that which is good. And others will he pacify and lull them away unto carnal security, that they will say, all is well in Zion. Yea, Zion prospereth, all is well. And thus the devil cheateth their souls and leadeth them away carefully down to hell. And behold, others he flattereth away. And he telleth them, there is no hell. And he saith unto them, I'm no devil, for there is none. And thus he whispereth in their ears until he grasp them with his awful chains from whence there is no deliverance. Yea, they are grasped with death and hell, and death and hell, and the devil, and all that have been seized therewith, must stand before the throne of God and be judged according to their works, from whence they must go down into the place prepared for them, even a lake of fire and brimstone, which is endless torment. Therefore, woe be unto him that is at ease in Zion. Woe be unto him that crieth, all is well. Yea, woe be unto him that hearkeneth unto the precepts of men and denieth the power of God and the gift of the Holy Ghost. Yea, woe be unto him that saith, we have received and we need no more. And in fine, woe unto all they that tremble and are angry because of the truth of God. For behold, he that is built upon the rock receiveth it with gladness, and he that is built upon the sandy foundation trembleth, lest he shall fall. Woe be unto him that shall say, we have received the word of God, and we need no more of the word of God, for we have enough. For behold, thus saith the Lord God, I will give unto the children of man line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. And blessed are they that hearken unto my precepts and lend an ear unto my counsel. For they have learned wisdom. And unto him that receiveth, I will give more. And to them that shall say, we have enough, from them shall be taken away even that which they have. Cursed is he that putteth his trust in man, or maketh arm his flesh, or shall hearken unto the precepts of man, save their precepts shall be given by the power of the Holy Ghost. Woe be unto the Gentiles, saith the Lord God of hosts, for notwithstanding I shall lengthen out mine arm unto them from day to day, they will deny me. Nevertheless, I will be merciful unto them, saith the Lord God, if they will repent and come unto me, for mine arm is lengthened out all the day long, saith the Lord God of hosts. You know, God told Jonah to go to the people of Nineveh, who were becoming, shall I say, ripened in sin. They were going astray, and there was like no stopping them. And God told him to go. And not only did he not want to go, he didn't like them. And he felt like they deserved whatever God dished out on them. And he wasn't going to go. Who are we that God should have us as his children? Who are we that we should work where we work, that we should be blessed as we are blessed? We're just as servants. And we have these problems. There's people we don't like. People that are hard for us to pray for. And we have to, like he told Joshua, we have to be in the Word of God. We have to know the law. Our hearts must dwell on it day and night, that we fulfill all of it, that we not depart from it to the left or to the right. People will scoff. Jose has had a good way of talking to me from time to time, because these things frustrate me too. You try to work with people, you feel like there's an inkling of hope, and you struggle and you try to teach and so forth. Jose always has this way of remembering the right scriptures at the right time, and he'll say, my sheep will know my voice. And the truth is, like Stephen read to you this morning, the battle belongs to God. The battle belongs to God. He's the one that fights it. But he tells us to serve him. And we must be willing. In spite of our prejudices, in spite of our precepts that can mislead us, we must struggle on. We must be strong. We must be of great courage. I want to go to Ephesians. Believe it or not, I'm almost done. Ephesians, the sixth chapter, the 10th verse. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take upon you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And out of this, you know, even myself, as I read these words, I can picture, you know, a breastplate and a helmet and feet shod with good sandals or shoes or whatever, and a sword, and still perceive it as the strength of mine own arm, and that I'm well armed, and I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to do it. But what I want you to take from that reading is this: that armor is the truth. That armor is righteousness. We have to have on truth and righteousness, a preparation of the gospel of peace. Dwell on it night and day, that it's graven upon the fleshy tables of your heart. Above all, taking the faith, we must believe, as Stephen said this morning, and salvation, realizing who we are. We're just man. We're the servant. He is God. It's He that saves us. And pray in all of it, that the Lord will have His way, and that He will help you as you serve not to misstep, that you be about the purpose that He's given you, and that you do it in His strength. In Philippians, the 4th chapter, of Philippians, 10th verse. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly. And now, at the last, your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Now that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And whatever it is that you're having to struggle with to carry out, and sometimes it seems without meaning, it seems like a side issue, but it never really is. What is your issue? Is it sleep deprivation? Been there. I feel like God brought us through it. And I feel like God's reward is there at the end of each of these things, and even through them. Your struggle may be as Amy, a body that just has seemed to abandon her. She lost her strength just when she wanted to be playing with her kids and going places and hiking and doing all these things, and she's gone through years. But it's united us in prayer. Everything has a purpose. And we see the miracle that's taking place now, and that even though she's so damaged, she's slowly coming back. I spoke with my cousin, David Larson. He's finally home from the hospital. And it's taken him like forever. And he said, it's still the same. He said, the gain is just so slow and it's hard. Keep praying for him. Whatever these things are, even though sometimes, like I said, they seem like a side issue, like a distraction. They seem unfair and unrelated to serving God in some ways. They're not. And they affect us all. And God is doing his work on us with it. In all these trials, he is doing his work on us. Be strong. Be courageous. Don't let your heart fail. Verse 19 and 20. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Second Nephi, 15th chapter. The words of another man who felt like he had weakness, like he couldn't do it good enough. Wasn't strong in writing, but let's listen to his words. 15th chapter, 2nd book of Nephi. I'll start with the third verse. But I, Nephi, have written what I have written, and I esteem it as of great worth, and especially unto my people. For I pray continually for them by day, and my eyes water my pillow by night because of them. And I cry unto my God in faith, and I know that he will hear my cry. And I know that the Lord God will consecrate my prayers for the gain of my people. And the things which I have written in weakness will he make strong unto them. For it persuadeth them to do good. It maketh known unto them of their fathers, and it speaketh of Jesus, and persuadeth men to believe in him and to endure to the end, which is life eternal. And it speaketh harsh against sin, according to the plainness of the truth. Wherefore no man will be angry at the words which I have written, save he shall be of the spirit of the devil. I glory in plainness. I glory in truth. I glory in my Jesus, for he hath redeemed my soul from hell. I have charity for my people and great faith in Christ, that I shall meet many souls spotless at his judgment seat. I have charity for the Jew. I say Jew because I mean them from whence I came. I also have charity for the Gentiles. But behold, for none of these can I hope, except they shall be reconciled unto Christ and enter in into the narrow gate and walk in the straight path which leads to life and continue in the path until the end of the day of probation. I glory in plainness. I glory in truth. When you think about the armor of God, all the the things that God has given, His stuff, that He uses to work with us. My prayer is that you would be very strong and courageous in keeping every part of the law, that you turn not aside to the left or right. That you not accept any counterfeits. The world's full of counterfeits. When we speak of the truth, it must be the truth. Now, I remember a woman I used to work with, and her concept of the truth was what she called honesty. She was willing to speak her mind, and boy, did she tell everybody off. But she was being honest. That's not really honesty. We need to know God's truth. And that's what we stick with. And the opinions we have, the emotion that gets all tied up in it, you know, that's what Jonah was struggling with. But this is common to man. This is common to you and I. Let's be strong in the Lord. You know, when I left Missouri, I was promoted very fast. I went up in rank for the company I worked for very rapidly. I traveled all over the world, and I had a lot of authority. I'm not sure I understood just how hard that is, what kind of a struggle that is, that people you thought were your friends suddenly become political animals. They approach you differently. And with that authority and the decisions you're making, people bring you false information all the time, and you can't react quickly. You have to follow up on everything. You have to check it out. You have to be willing to straighten people out and say, you told me this, it is not true. As God sends us out into the world, watch your tongue. Don't be full of the stories others have told you. Most of them are the opinion they have. They're not the truth. Don't follow after them. Check everything out. Be a good brother, a good sister. And I'm not just talking about to the people in church. Be a good brother, a good sister to the people you work with, the people that are your neighbors. Love them. They are part of what I've read to you about. These many, many churches, all these different stories. So hard to start out, to sort out. How do I say, I am the Lord's? Everybody else is saying that too. It's God's to say. It's God's to say. Somehow His Spirit has to speak in their heart. His mighty power has to create a change in a heart, and He can do it. Who are we to even think we can? We're just the servants. Let's do what He tells us to do. My prayer is for you. Please pray for me. Seems like things never get better, but they do. Let's remember those things too. Keep praying for David. I've mentioned him. Keep praying for my daughter, Amy Moser. You see the change that she's being helped. God is starting to bring about a healing that we didn't think was going to be possible. The many things that we have to think about, pray for the Hitt family. They just lost their mother. We are brothers and sisters. Be close in your heart to each other. Support one another. Do good. Like Nephi said, these words teach you to do good. Pray for me that I be a faithful servant. And I have to say, I love you.